Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
Everyone is very welcome, and we thank God for your lives. We have a word from the Lord that we title Lawful Captivity. Lawful Captivity. There are two kinds of captivity, and we are going to see the two kinds of them, and we will be focusing on the lawful captivity to see how we get to be in captivity and how we can come out of captivity. So, Bible divides captivity into two. Number one, that is called lawful captivity. Lawful captivity, it takes place when we have done something that qualifies us to come under bondage. So the enemy has absolute right to harass you and keep you in bondage. Let me repeat myself. Lawful captivity is when you know the right thing to do, but you do the opposite against the word of the living God. It gives the enemy absolute right to keep you in bondage. That is the lawful captivity. You went in by yourself. You know the word, but you decided to go against the word. So as a result of that, you fell into captivity. The second type is the unlawful captivity. This is when you have not done anything wrong and the enemy is harassing you at his own will. And it is therefore necessary to know how to remain free all the time. Bondage, as we are talking about here, it means limitation. When one is in bondage, he is limited. To be in bondage is to be confined. You are not free by yourself. To be in bondage is to be caged. You are confined in the four corners. This one, we said it, that it's not like you have done anything by the craftiness of the devil harassing your life, probably by ignorance. You come to find out that your life has been boxed in the four corners of the cage of the enemy. And he keeps on harassing you. Most of the time, once we come to find out that we stand right with the Lord, but something is not right, the wisdom is quickly come before the Lord and start crying unto the Lord to set us free. Today, we are going to focus on the first kind, which is the lawful captivity. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, and the verse is 12. The lawful captivity. This is when you know the right thing to do, but you don't do it. And you fall a victim to the hand of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 6, 12, he said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This is such a powerful scripture. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things are what? Are helpful. So all things are lawful unto me. It means that I am bound by rules and regulations concerning anything that will come on my way. I live my life by the rules and the regulations in Christ Jesus. It is the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus that rules my life. Romans 8:2. And it had set me free from the law of sin and death. So as far as a man set his eyes on the purpose of the living God by the constitution in Christ Jesus, you keep your life going in power. Romans 6:14 talks about, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. And this grace is the same one that is given in John 1:17. He said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In him, we have it all. In him is all power. In him are all things consist. In him are all things lawful. But it's not everything that is lawful that is helpful. So, as we live our lives, we come to 2 Corinthians 3:18 to continue looking unto this Jesus Christ. As we behold him as the glass of life, we are changed unto his glory. From glory to glory, but we are changed to the same image. The year had begun, and we want to make sure that our lives are going on a better way, a higher level, from glory to glory, shining more and more. Many people have made resolutions this year, and I'm giving them till the mid of February to be seeing the craftiness of the devil taking their money from the account, and they cannot go and work out. Why? Because they have given up on their own resolutions. This word of God, this is what keeps us going. So, the second part of it that says that all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So, all things are lawful and all things has power. All things are lawful and all things have power, and I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I will not be enslaved by anything. Things can enslave people's life. Things, the desires of people's heart can lead them to captivity or unto captivity. This is what we are talking about. So, according to your will, let it be done unto you. The desires of people's hearts, taking them into places that they are not supposed to be. And devil is, he's aware of that. He knows that man is a creation of God that is always questing to get more and more. We are never satisfied with whatever that we have. Contentment is not in man. Man always wants to know. This is the reason why we are where we are today. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We want to know, want to know, want to find out. When even we know, we still want to know. That is man. We are never content with what we have and our situations. But when you are content, that does not mean that it is your finality. It just helps you to be stress-free. Where I am today, this is what the Lord has given me. I am trusting my God to a higher height. The point is this. He's taking you from glory to glory. So it is against God's word for a child of God to remain the same, because our God, he moves. He is doing new things every single day. You cannot be walking with God. Who is walking that is remaining stagnant? So the point is that the moment that you have come to accept that God is moving with you, you are moving with God, your situation can never be the same. Your current situation is not your final situation. So the act of contentment has to be part of our lives and be integrated in our lives to be the reason of our living, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, unto his own glory. God wants to glorify us so that he can take glory. The Lord takes pleasure to see his children doing well. He takes pleasure to see his children doing well. When you are prospering, it is God's pleasure. When your children are doing well, God is pleased. God is not pleased when he sees you broken, sick, and that is not, I mean, who is the father out there to see his child completely destroyed? It's a shame. It's a shame and dishonor even to we earthly parents. How much more our heavenly Father, who had purpose you here on earth, had plan and thought concerning you to bring you to that expected end, meaning that he had already an end for you. He comes back and starts with you. He said, my son, I know what I have for you. My daughter, I know where I'm taking you. Trust me. Believe in me. Be consistent in my word. A man, a prophet of God, made a statement. Listen to what this man said. There's a prophet, one of those people that wrote in the book of Psalms. But this guy here, in Proverbs 30, and the verses 7 to 9. This man called Prophet Agur. Agur made two statements. He told God, he said, God, two things I have required of thee. God, I'm only asking you for two things. And deny them not before I die. In other words, he was saying, Lord, I have two things in my heart that I want to ask you. Please, do these things for me before I die. What are these things? Number one, he said, remove far from me vanity and lies. Because it is going to do something to me. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Somebody sitting down here just said, I will never pray such a prayer. I will never ask God to give me neither poverty nor riches. I will ask God, give me riches and final. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Number two thing that I need from you, my God, is that feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God for vain or in vain. I reversed the reading of this scripture. And I said, I put it this way. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I just said I reversed the scripture. This is the way that I read it. This man of God was saying, God, remove far from me vanity and lies. Vanity is anything that is not going to bring glory to God. It end up to be vain, in vain. Lies. Lies is me living and deceiving myself. Everything around me is all deception. So what I perceive to be the reality is not. So at the end of it all, I come to find out that whatever effort that I made in life comes to vain. So the man said, I don't want to live a life like that. This year, as we began the year, it is also my prayer that, Lord, let me see the reality of my life. At least let me know that the little effort that I'm making, I'm not making it on the wrong grounds. I want to be sincere. Even if I cannot accomplish all that you have in store for my life, Lord, let me at least run the right type of race. Do the right thing. I couldn't get it all done because I already wasted my life for a long time ago before even by grace come to know you. But Lord, as far as there is a scent of water, there is life. I am still alive. There is no counsel in the grave. It is only when I'm dead that I cannot serve you, but I'm still alive. Lord, give me grace to be truthful to myself. Let every deception depart from my life. So that at least the little that I am able to do will be counted to my bank account in heaven. Give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. It is very true. When a man is satisfied, he doesn't need God. When man is satisfied, he does not need God, because as you come here and you are praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, my rent this month, oh Lord, let there be heavenly provision. Father, I commit this rent into your hands in the name of Jesus. He is not praying that prayer. He had enough money. Matter of fact, he's not even paying rent. He's paying property tax. So this guy, and as far as the property tax is concerned, he's only focusing on the type of politician that have been set on power. Is this guy coming to raise property tax? So you can see that your worries and his worries are different. Are different. He looks into his bank account and he can testify that even my great-great-children, they can come and live on my account. I have made investments that are working for them. By the time that you are going up and down, working so hard, cold weather and all that, coming home late, waking up early, you know what he's doing? The biggest thing that he can do is to go on the computer and check the account. We see the numbers being increased. Stocks are being increasing his account. God is not in his mind, because he sees God as you see God as your provider. The provisions that you are looking for, he has gotten them and beyond. So the name of God, when you said God, and he said, oh, what God? What God? So Agar said it. He said, please, Lord, let me not deceive myself. I know myself. I know that if I have too much, it is very true. When you are in front of the fufu, you say, give me enough, just convenient food to eat. Otherwise, by the time that I finish this fufu, Lord, I might not be able to stand up to go and pray. He knows himself. So, we have to be sincere to ourselves. There are non-go areas in life. Don't go there. Can a man put fire in his bosom? You know that where you are going is not going to help you. She is just my friend. Just my friend. A married man with a married woman, friendship that have gone beyond. And the devil is crafty. There is nothing between us. We are just friends. Can a man put fire on his bosom? Why are you not friends with a husband? So that they can invite you home and eat. Rather than sneaking yourself to go to a restaurant with somebody's wife. That workplace over there. You are a married man. This young girl moving around, you know, already she's a failure. Because at that age, she's not married. And cannot go with her mates. People, the young guys of her age. So she sees you as the sugar daddy and you are moving around. Oh, fresh blood. May the Lord forgive you. May the Lord forgive you. Agar knew that there are certain things, he said, these things, they are lawful. I cannot go beyond that boundary because if I do trespass it, definitely I am going to be in captivity. It's not like we are not aware of these things. We know them. We come, we hear the word of God. The word is written, you know, and proven and instructing us. But we decide, is God's word really true? You see the fire. You look at the fire and you say, can this fire really burn me? And you try, okay, test it. Put your hand there. By the time that, say, it burns, oh. This is what we are talking about this morning. How do you come into captivity? We have mentioned just few. But there is a clear example about Jesus Christ and his disciples. This is found in the book of Mark. Mark 13. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 6. Jesus in Jerusalem, moving with his disciples, and as he went up out of the temple, one of the disciples said unto Jesus, he said, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. So the disciple, you know, he was admiring the construction around him. How mighty, how great the temple and the surrounding was all about. You can identify this, or you can be, you know, you can imagine this of, you know, of you being in America compared to where you come from. Now you are in America and you are passing in the downtown, and you see all these constructions. And you are taking picture. Stay by the bridge side where the greatest view are. And he said, take me picture from here. And they take your picture. Click, what's up? You send it. And you're, yay, she is in America. The man was telling Jesus, look at all these buildings, how great they are. And Jesus, he heard it. Answering this man, he said, see thou these great buildings. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I don't know what is deceiving you. I really don't know what is deceiving you. Please, do not let downtown deceive you. If it's not downtown, probably it might be, you know, your job. Taking so much pride. It might be your status in society, in the community. Nana Abao, Nana is coming. Jesus said, let these things not deceive you. A time is coming. Not even a single block of this building, single stone will remain. It is coming down. Probably you are living, we have people that are living, you know, they go from one function to another. And as they are going to the functions, they don't want to see people seeing them with the same outfit. So they are living in competition. And you are not the only one doing that. Another one also there. So you look among yourselves. This one has crocodile shoe. Crocodile shoe. Tomorrow, I will come with elephant shoe. And we are challenging ourselves. Maybe your case is different. You go to those functions. I'm not like them. I am not. But did you see the type of shoe that he was wearing? This man, he cannot even take care of the wife. All the money that he has is always by you. That is also your case. Gossiper, talking about people. Jesus Christ is saying that there are certain things that are so deceptive in life, but you're going to have to identify what is right and be living for. Life can be so deceiving. Life can be so deceiving. I want the latest. Everything is, I want the latest. iPhone comes from 1 to 6, and they are just matching you. We are not saying, as you know, the point is this, right? Everything that God gives wisdom to man to create, or everything that God created, he created these things for us, for we children of God. Matter of fact, even those unbelievers that are working so hard to come up with the type of shoe that is not even going to allow you to walk. It is meant for you to enjoy. But the point is that you are not, as a child of God, living your life focusing on those things. You are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And as the Lord is blessing you, somebody is working on your shoe. And the time will come that you will be wearing those shoes. And he said, Lord, I bless your name. Matthew 6, 33, he said, seek ye kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And all these things that people are living for, running for, they shall what? Be added unto you. This is what we are talking about. If you don't live your life with such principle, you will be in captivity. And this is a lawful captivity. The enemy has every right to make your mind of somebody who is sleeping and seeing, you know, alligator shoes. That is all that you are living for. That is all that you are thinking. So you are dreaming about one crocodile that just came out, someone killed it and took it to the factory, and all kinds of nonsense dream. And he said, what is happening? The devil has you in captivity. That is what is going on. These things that we are talking about, it is to bring peace in our lives, in our homes, joy in our children, putting unnecessary pressure upon your husbands, upon your wives. This is what we are talking about. Unnecessary pressure upon ourselves. Pressure, pressure, pressure. And the devil has something called high blood pressure. So the blood that is flowing through you, you yourself, since you are pumping, you know, much nonsense in your life, your blood is also running at the level of nonsense. So they call it high blood pressure. These things, not even one will remain. Everything shall come down. And in the verse 3 of Mark 13 that we just read, he said, Jesus Christ, after he has said this thing, he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. And Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately. He said, Jesus, tell us, when shall these things that you are talking about, when shall they come to pass? And what shall be the sign of these things that shall be fulfilled? What things? He's talking about, when is this building that, you know, the disciple was boasting that much about? Jesus said, this building, don't be deceived. The time is coming, not even a single stone will remain. So when is that stone coming down? And Jesus answered him. He said, you know what? Take heed, lest any man deceive you. In other words, don't worry about when it is coming down. Do not worry about when it is coming down. You just worry about your life. Worry about doing the right thing in the sight of Almighty God. Worry about you not being deceived. Worry about you not being deceived. Worry about you not being deceived. Everything counts. The type of friends that you have. You are a married woman. You cannot go and have someone who is not married as a friend and giving you a counsel. Hey, me. I can't take this. She cannot take it because she has never been there. She doesn't know what it takes to be in a marriage. Invading one another's space. She has no idea. She is single. Changing men. Today she's here, tomorrow she's there. You have responsibility. The children, your husband, your business, your affairs. Wisdom. Wisdom. You put yourself in a situation that you are going to be locked by devil. But the word tells you, don't go there. You said, Lord, I know, but this is a situation that favors me. It's good for me. So you choose your way over God's way. Then the enemy has every right to keep you in his way. Because you have chosen his way. When a man chooses to go his own way, you have chosen the devil's way. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, this thing shall never be your portion. Amen? Many people are already in what we are talking about. They are already in captivity. They are snared by the works of the devil because all these things that we are saying, they are facts. It is happening. People have been exercising their lives that way and they are snared, captured by the devil. Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter, 2 Timothy 2:26. He told Timothy, he said that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captivity by him at his will. That these people, they have to come to a point to recognize that. I mean, this is, when you are in captivity, most of the time they don't even know. Because the whole environment is functioning that way. This is how the community is. But get out of it so that you can see another perspective of life. Get out of it so that you can see. The environment and the surrounding is not good. The type of people that are counseling you, they have the same mindset. And everything is being resolved within. Come out higher with Almighty God. So many things, when we have come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, we look back, we say, ah, my goodness, how did I really make this choice? It was such a foolish choice. The reason is that at that time, you reasoned and you made that choice. The reason why today you regret that much is because you have come up higher. The Spirit of the Lord had lifted you higher. You don't see the world the same way. When somebody is sleeping thinking of alligator shoe, you are sleeping thinking of how you are going to pave the way and train your children unto the glory of the living God. Our perspectives of life, they change. They change. What a man sees is so important for his future. But if you are within a box, that all that you see is the people in your community, hey, today, today, tomorrow is this one. As we go here, hey, you didn't come to mine. I didn't see you on mine. Next time that you are doing something, I'm just telling you, oh, if you don't see me there, just know that you didn't come to mine. That is why. I know you pay $50. I'm also watching. I'm watching you. You pay $50. Do you remember when your grandmother, her mother died? I was there. I gave you $100. I gave you $100. My own sister just died and you are coming with $25. $25. $25. It's a little circle. Little circle. The purpose of life is not being achieved. We are not saying that it's not good to support each other. That's not what we are saying. We are simply saying that get out of the devil's world. Let the purpose of God be your purpose, your reason of living. Then everything else shall be added. Everything else shall be added. We are not to deceive ourselves. Come out of it. So as we continue living, we have to check our resistance when it comes to devil snaring people. James 4:7, he said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. And resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, devil is meant to come. No matter who you are, you can be apostle, great man of God. You are even prompt to see devil more. Devil moving around, visiting people's home. How is your home? How is your home protected? How well are you protecting your home? Proverbs 14:1, he said, a wise woman, she buildeth her house, and a foolish one plugged it down with her hands. A woman is building the house. Are you the type of a godly woman that is building the house? How is your children behaving at home? What is your relationship with your husband? Is the devil ruling in your home or the Spirit of God ruling in that house? Do you see yourself as someone that is, I am the man of this family. What I say, that's what goes. You didn't get it. There is nowhere in the Bible that we find the head of the family that God is talking about. It's not like that. He says, submit yourself one to another. Minister of God, you are so busy. I am preparing the message. Your husband, your wife is struggling in the kitchen over there. I'm waiting upon the Lord. What waiting are you waiting? The woman needs help. God tells you, go and help her. Say, Lord, how can I, minister of your word, go to the kitchen and help my wife? From my tradition, we men, we don't cook. We don't cook. We only eat. Ephesians 4:27, he said, neither give place to the devil. If you give place to him, he will cause trouble. He will cause trouble. He will definitely cause trouble. What is it? By the time that you go help your wife, and afterwards, everything is done now. Everybody's happy. The children have gone to bed. You can come and sit down. Come and sit down. You have the whole week to organize yourself very well so that you can catch up on sleep. Let there be peace in that home. And you wives, as the man is coming to help you, this is not the time to start what the devil has put in your mind. And go out there and start that. My husband, whatever I tell, he does it. Oh, he does it. I won't even say it. Look at you. This is not from a godly woman. Knowing that your husband is helping you, submitting ourselves one to another. There is something that pains me so much. It's when the devil came to, Adam and Eve's home. And devil came around, stood before the woman, and told Eve, take the fruit and eat. I'm always wondering, I said, why devil went to the woman? And Adam was just right there. Adam couldn't say anything. Was just, watching. See devil talking to his wife. And afterwards, the woman taking the fruit and giving it to the husband. And he ate it. Devil knew that through the wife, Adam loved so much his wife. Loved so much. If devil went to Adam and said, Adam, here. He said, no. No, this is not what God said. But if he goes to the woman, he knows that by the love that Adam had for the wife, if the wife is saying, honey, he's already melted. He's already melted. And whatever that the woman will do will overrule God's word. Our love to our wife supersedes our love to Almighty God or to God's word. That is how we are led into captivity. So resist the devil and he will flee. I will never stop talking about Adam and Eve. Because some of us, we see him as problems. But I know that if you were there, we wouldn't have done better. Because it's our time too. We have our time with God right now. With a higher height. Jesus Christ has been giving us the solution. And God says that I have life for you. But look at us. Look at us. Look at the type of life that we are choosing. Today, we don't even want to wear anything. The world has gone to a state that man do not want to wear anything. Celebrity. They just want to Adam and Eve, and then that's it. Everything is going astray. And we are saying that be careful, because devil roaming around like a lion seeking whom to devour. This is what we are talking about here. Devil will not get you, will not get your home, will not get your children, your husband, your jobs in the name of Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians 2, 10, 11. He said, all these things you have to be watchful, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. These are the devices of the devil. They are coming in different shape. You have to be watching everything. The type of movies you are watching at home. What type of movie do you select to watch at home? What is it that you, how far can you let your children go? Are you willing to please your children over God's word? Believe me, you want to please them. A time will come, they will not be pleased. Because they are running faster than you are. They will see you say, oh, daddy, your time is past. Daddy, you are not cool. And daddy is trying to catch up with cool. So daddy will shape half here, and then we're wearing something that tears. And daddy, you cannot catch up. The only way, which is the right way, is the way of God. Train them to know Almighty God. Let them be proper. Sunday, we are going to church. My son, I have bought a suit for you. Sunday is for the suit. It's for the suit. Daddy, that is not what I want to wear. That is not what I want to wear. What is it that you want to wear? That jean over there and that shoe over there. This is not going to God's house. It goes to the devil's house, but not God's house. You can take it when you are playing around and all that, but not God's house. We cannot allow our children to rule our homes. We can't. This is the time that you have to be very strict, because if you are not, you are not going to have peace. It is only when you train them the way and God is pleased with you, then you'll be pleased with your children. And your children will be pleased with you, because they will be under God's control. My conclusion is this. Whatever that has gone wrong in lawful captivity, this is what the Lord God said to his people. It is not too late. In Isaiah 49, the verses 24 to 26, and I'm stopping just right here. He said, God, that he is mighty. He said, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Or the lawful captive delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. The Lord still has all power. It is not too late. Your child that is walking like he doesn't want to walk, it is not too late. Start working out things. Almighty God, that he's alive and he's capable to turn things around. You will see them walking straight. You go to Africa, you see a child of somebody from America, you recognize him right away by the way they walk. Like if something is wrong with our bodies, that we can't hold it normal. If God wanted you to walk like this, why? That's the problem. We are facing situations that has gone beyond our reach. But God said it. Since it has gone beyond your reach, you call unto him and he will strengthen that child unto his glory. This is the word of God. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. God will deliver them. And this is how he's going to do it. He's not going to compromise with the devil. The Lord said, I will contend with him that contended against thee. I will contend. He said, God is not coming to ask any question. He said, you know what? This child, he is my son's son. You cannot keep him here. Because the son, my son is praying unto me that his son has gone astray. Devil, turn your face away. The light comes and the Lord is saving that boy. I will contend with them that contend with you. And I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. This is good news. Hallelujah. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. Anybody that wants to eat your flesh this year, they are heading for their own flesh to be eaten. This is the word of God. We are stopping just right here. Please, may we take this counsel of the Lord for this whole year, running our lives unto the glory of the living God. In Jesus' name, let's say amen. Amen. God bless you.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org.